Hey everyone, good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to welcome you once again to Toronto City Church. I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us, you've chosen to be with us together. Again, I think I say it every single week, I wish you were here in person, I wish we could be together, but we're going to get there. In the meantime, we're going to keep, by God's grace, navigating this season, working through it together. So, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here, and I'm thankful for the Word of God. And I'm excited about the new series that we are starting this week entitled, By Our Love. And so we're going to be talking about walking in the love of God and just this call and this command from God for us to love one another. You know, it's interesting if we track what God has been speaking to us about over the past number of months. If you'll remember, back in the fall, He was talking to us about faith. And then we took some time to talk about hope. And then we took some time at the start of this year to talk about joy. And now God's leading us into talking more about love. These are all foundational concepts of the kingdom of God. These are all foundational concepts of what it means to know God, to walk with God, to live life the way He's called us to. And I really believe that this has been a season in the middle of everything that's going on, that God has taken us back to the basics. Right? He's taking us back to the basics. He's saying, hey, remember this. And hey, I want to grow you in this. And again, it's because He's training us. He's preparing us. He's calling us. I want you just to know, and I can get on my preach soapbox right now on this, that you were called to more than just sitting there watching messages from me for the rest of your life and trying not to sin and just hoping you go to heaven. There's calling on your life. There's destiny on your life. God has got divine assignments for you. You are not saved by works, but you are saved for good works. That's Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. God has saved you for assignments, kingdom things that He's called you to. But if we're going to walk those things out, again, we want to be strong in our faith. God wants us to grow in hope. He wants us to be strong in joy. And I think above all, it's so important that we know how to walk in love. We know how to receive the love of God, and we know how to walk in the love of God. And so this series, By Our Love, we're going to take time to dig deeper about what does it mean? What does it look like? How do we really live this life of love, particularly towards one another? I want you to go with me to John chapter 13, 34 to 35. This is where we're going to start. And it says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Come on, where you are right now, I just want you to say that one part with me. Say, by this will all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If we have love for one another. Now, there's three things, real simple today, three things I want to encourage you from this passage. Number one, everybody say number one. Number one is simply this. We have been given a command by God to love one another. Guys, this is a commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is not a recommendation. This is not something that we should make an attempt to do if it's not too hard or if we're not too busy. We, as followers of Christ, have been given a command, not just once in the Scriptures, not just twice in the Scriptures, but over and over and over again, we have been given this command to love one another. We see it here. Jesus said, love one another. Now, when we connect this to the great commandment, which I know next week, Pastor Samuel is actually bringing the word. And he's going to bring a great encouragement and a great word even around the great commandment. But when we connect this, we see the great commandment is what? Matthew 22, 37 to 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourselves. So watch this. We've got this great commandment, loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and then we have this command from Jesus, which He's giving. Once again, this is during the Last Supper. It's kind of like His last sermon and sharing time with His disciples before He goes, and He gives this command so strongly, so clearly, that we are to love one another. This is a command, guys. And here's what I want to get at, this command of love. So often in our Christianity, if we're honest, we do not define our Christianity first and foremost by love. And yet when you read the Scriptures, you can come to no other conclusion than the number one priority for God is love. It's His love for us, it's our love for Him, and it's our love for people. And yet, how often, let's be honest, let's kind of search our hearts today, how often have we not defined Christianity and even defined our faith walk in our love for others, in our love for God? How often have we defined our Christianity by what we don't do? Right? I want you to catch this today. So often we've defined our Christianity, well, I don't do this, and I don't go here, and I don't cuss, and I don't watch this, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and then we hold others to that standard. Well, you better not do this, and you better not do that, and if you do this, and you shouldn't have done it, then you're going to get canceled, you're going to get judged, whatever happens, and we get caught up into, now, is there things that we shouldn't do because we're followers of Christ? Oh, of course, definitely. But that was not meant to be the foundational kind of definition of who we are. I mean, come on, guys. What good is it to make your core definition of what you don't do? Right? That's not what God called. See, the core definition that God is after is He is after love. Right? Jesus, definitely there's things we don't do. But Jesus placed a far higher priority on what we are doing. Right? That's what He was really after. Because here's what I've learned, guys. If I'm busy doing the things I'm supposed to do with the heart I'm supposed to be doing it, and I'm involved where God's called me to be involved, I'm not going to have time or energy or space for things I'm not supposed to do. But if my Christianity is defined by what I don't do, and that's all it's about, that's such a shallow foundation to build on. See, God does not want us building the foundation of our identity on what we don't do. He wants our identity to be in Him. And then He wants our identity to be in what we are living out and what we are doing. And at the center of that, catch me in this, at the center of that above all else is this thing of love. How well do we love? Right? I wonder if, I remember hearing a prophetic word and there's a man of God and he ultimately was in a vision before Jesus. And the question that Jesus asked him said, did you learn to love? Now, it's interesting because in a lot of ways that can kind of catch you, especially if you've come up in a Christianity that's about rules and what I do and what I don't do. And again, we're not taking away from things. Like, I'm not saying this message is a license to go do a bunch of crazy stuff, but the point is being this, do we have this passion to grow in love, right? Do we regularly check ourselves and say, hey, how am I loving people right now? How am I loving God? How am I loving people? How am I loving my spouse? How am I loving my kids? How am I loving my coworkers? How am I doing in love? Because this command to love God and this command to love one another is right at the center of our Christianity. It should not be a side issue. It's got to be right at the core. See, when our Christianity is defined by loving one another, loving God and loving one another, it changes everything. So here's the question I want you to ask yourself. It's a question I'm asking myself today too. What is my Christianity defined by? What is your Christianity defined by? Is it defined by love? And is it defined by how well of each other? Now, how much do devotions, how many scripture verses you memorize, how long you pray in the Spirit every single day, all the things you do. But if you don't love, what is all that for? Right? It's a good question to ask us. Let's look a little bit about this command to love one another because I just want you to see how it's throughout the scriptures. Jesus said this, John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Again, John 15, 17, these things I command you so that you will love one another. Jesus was all about us loving one another. It's what He lived. It's what He called us to. We then move to the Apostle John, 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3:14. We know that we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. 1 John 3:23. And this is His commandment that we believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Are we picking up a theme here? Let's keep going with John. 1 John 4:7 to 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. 1 John 4:11 to 12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Catch that. The better I get at loving others, the more that God's love abides in me and I become perfected or matured in it. I mean, boom, like just, there's so much here, guys. 1 John 4:21, and this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. 2 John 1, verse 5, and we now, I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Catch what he said there, because this is another letter that John's writing. He said, this is the commandment we had from the beginning. In other words, this was the first thing we taught you. This was the first thing we learned about being a Christian, meant loving God and loving each other. Now, someone might listen and say, well, okay, yeah, but that was the Apostle John. He was the beloved, the apostle that Jesus loved. He wrote about love all the time. Well, it wasn't just John who talked about it. Let me show you what Peter said. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. He goes on to say in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. How about the Apostle Paul? Romans 13, verse 8 says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Isn't that interesting? So literally, he's talking like there's a debt to love one another. That's what we owe. We don't owe others, but owe to love one another. Right? Like be in debt to others to love them. Right? Like you, when you're in debt, right, you make your payments, or you should make your payments. But if you don't make your payments, there's problems. So, you know, people are like, well, listen, what if you had this perspective every day? I'm going to make payments to love others, right? And so that we love each other. And I love this. He said, too, watch, he said, he who loves has fulfilled the law. So remember I was talking about how so often we've defined our Christianity by what we don't do, laws, rules, regulations. But he says, if you love well, you're going to end up fulfilling the heart and the intention of the law anyways, right? Because if I love somebody, I'm going to treat them in a godly way. If I love someone, I'm going to obey God where they're concerned, right? So we see that. A couple more verses from Paul. Romans 12, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection or sisterly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So Paul's almost talking like, have a love competition. Have this competition of who can love each other the most. And 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. So family, just to bring this first point to a close, there is a command to love one another. And it's not a side command. It is not an extra command that, well, if you have time. No, John actually said, this is like the foundation. If you don't get this, you're already missing what God's trying to say to you. We are called to love one another. Jesus said it, John said it, Peter said it. We also see that Paul said it. And even as you go and if you study church history and you study the early church, one of the distinctives of the early church was this command and this call to love one another. Come on, somebody say, we are called to love one another. We are called, guys. We are called to do it. Now, that's the first thought. Here's the second thought I have for you from this passage. We are to love one another just as he loved us. So number one, we have a command to love one another. Number two, we are called to love one another just as he loved us. Now, there's two things I want us to catch today from this statement or from this thought. First is that our example for loving one another, right? What does love look like? What does it look like? Our first place we need to look for our example is to look to him. How has he loved us? What is the love of God like? Because that becomes our pattern, that becomes our model, that becomes our example for what love looks like. See, the Bible says that God is love. So to have true what love looks like, we can never disconnect it from him. And so what are some things we could say today about God's love? Now, I could preach an entire message about this. I could preach an entire series about the love of God. But let me say a couple things today. God's love is eternal. It is never ending. It never had a start. It's never going to have an end. God's love is unconditional. God's love for you is not based on what you've done or what you haven't done. It's not based on how good you are or how much you pray. His love for you and his love for your worst enemy is unconditional. That's what his love is. Number three, God's love is for every person. So long as it's eternal, not as it unconditional, but it's for every person. God, the Bible says God so loved the world. That means that anyone in the world, God's love is for them. And number four, we see that God's love is unstoppable, right? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there's nothing that will separate us from the love of God. There's nothing that can stop God's love. And I could go on and preach over and over again. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we love And our example of love is just as he loved us. That's what Jesus said. So we've got to look at the love of the Father. And I want to encourage you in this, that we would make a commitment and that we learn. Even we talk about what love is like, guys. We've got to start with God's love for us. That's how we need to define love, and we need to define what it looks like. The more we understand, the more we have a revelation of, the more we walk in God's love, the more we'll understand how to love each other. The more you know God, the better you get at love, because God is love. The shallower your relationship is with God, the worse you're going to be at loving others, because God is love. And it's very important this, that we define love properly. You know, it's popular today to talk about love. It's popular today to talk about being loving, to talk about how love will win. Love wins. There's a lot of taglines, a lot of slogans, a lot of things that go around, and I'm thankful for an emphasis on love. But here's what we have to watch for, is the love that our definition of love has got to start with and flow out of the character of God. Let me give you an example. There might be some people where we as a Christian say, hey, the Bible says this is sin and it's wrong to do it. And someone might push back and say, oh, that's not love. You're not loving. You're not being loving. Well, then here's the problem. Because we weren't the ones who said that. God was the one who said that. And God is love. And so if he's our definition of love and he said something's wrong, then it's not unloving for us to echo what he said and say it's wrong. And it's actually unloving for us to say something's okay if God said it's wrong. Right? Because if you think in the light of eternity, there's a lot of things right now. The Bible says, woe if you say good is evil and evil is good. And there's a lot of things can come around. This is why we have to have discernment in the name of love. And it can feel like it's loving to say to someone, oh, that's okay. Oh, that's not a problem. That's not a big deal. That doesn't matter. I'm talking in the broad spectrum of things. Right? But all of a sudden on judgment day, they're standing before God. And God says, well, actually, no, that was sin and that's wrong. And they say, but God, Christians told me it was okay. Christians said it was fine. Were they really loving then as Christians? Were they really loving if we didn't speak the truth in love? Right? And so this is something we do not define love and then define God by our definition of love. We've got to start with God and allow God to define what love looks like. Right? And so we need to make sure we do that. Second, here's what I want you to see as well. We love because he first loved us. So we've got to look to him to understand what love looks like. But secondly, we also love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:19 says it simply like this. We love because he first loved us. Our ability to love one another flows from having received God's love for us. It always starts with him. It doesn't start with us. That's the power of the gospel, guys. Get this principle, and it'll help you understand so many dynamics of the kingdom and so many principles in the scripture. It starts with him. It flows to us, and then we respond. Anytime we are trying to engage in something in the spirit that is not starting first in a response to him, we're always going to struggle. It's when we receive from him. So we receive love from him. Then we are now filled with love so we can love one another. We love because he first loved us. See, if we're talking about, like, let's get real practical here. We're talking about loving one another, and we're sitting, okay, I got to try harder to love people. But God, I just don't like some people. I don't like a lot of people. Like, loving you, but I just don't. See, and so we think, I got to try harder. No, the answer is not trying harder. The answer is yielding and submitting more to the Holy Spirit, because we receive love, and then we give love. Now, is there times where you still have to kind of step up and make an effort? Yes, but always do it out of that place of dependency and leaning on him, right? Here's the gospel. Freely you've received, freely give, right? You can't freely give if you haven't first freely received. So the more you receive, this is how things work in the Spirit. You know, it's interesting. One last thought on this. I do love that the Apostle John, we're reading so much of the Apostle John, because he actually called himself the Beloved. And it's kind of funny because if you read the book of John, he always refers to himself in the book of John, which he wrote, as the disciple that Jesus loved. Now, I don't know if the rest of the disciples got to read his letter. And I don't know if they're anything like, you know, our core team at Toronto State Church, we're always ragging on each other and we're always just having fun in a good spirit at each other's expense. Like, you know, if someone does something, you know, if someone makes a mistake or someone does something wrong, Like, I remember, I'm going to call them out publicly now. We had one time we're doing like this kind of group workout thing. And we're supposed to, like, at the end, we had this opportunity. We had to kind of this challenge to kick the ball into the soccer goal. And if we got it into the net, we didn't have to do as many, I can't remember what it was, push-ups or burpees. So we figured we're going to get Paul to do this. Why? Because Paul is the ex, basically, all-American sprinter. He's the almost Olympic athlete. We're going to let Paul hold this thing down. So Paul gets back, gets ready to kick the soccer ball. And I don't know what happened, but he loses his footing as he goes to kick the ball. He doesn't just miss the net. He like totally, completely kicks it, the like total wrong, and he ends up falling on his back. Oh, I wish we had it on video. If we'd had it on video, I would be showing it to you right now. And Paul's probably already a little frustrated with me at the moment, but you know I love you, Paul. But if we had the video, it would have been all over, right? And so we rag on each other. We have fun with these things. And I can imagine all the disciples. I mean, that totally was off topic, but I figured I'd get it in there. I can imagine the disciples like, oh, John, yeah, the disciple that Jesus loves. The disciple, oh, look, it's the disciple that Jesus loves. Why did he do that? Why did he put that in there? Here's why I think, because he was so, it connected to this revelation of God's love for him. He didn't say that he was the only disciple that Jesus loved. He didn't say that he was the disciple that Jesus loved the most. He just always referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Why? He was so committed on a daily basis to building his right, and he had such a revelation of love that he just changed his name when he's ready. He changed his name and just said, I'm not John, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. And he spoke, you know the power of our words? He spoke it over and over and over and over again. What if you just walked around every day and just said, yeah, I'm the person that Jesus loves. And you're so aware of Jesus' love for you, then how could you not walk in love towards others? And it's interesting because John's the one who wrote the most about love. John was the one, and I believe he was known as the apostle of love. And I believe that that would be one of the things he carried even through years. He ended up, church history tells us, he ended up with Mary in Ephesus. And so even in the church when Timothy was pastoring, historically, the Apostle John was there, and he was a real voice to the church, and he would have been that voice of love. And so it's really powerful. So the second thought, again, is we love one another just as he's loved us. And which leads me, in closing today, to our final and our third thought. And Jesus said this. He said, the world is supposed to know that we follow Christ by the way we love one another. Right? So we have this command to love one another. We are going to love because he first loved us. He's our example for love. But then catch this, because I think a lot of times we kind of breeze over this scripture. Jesus said the world is going to know that you are my disciples, not by how big of a cross you put on your church, not by how loud you sing during worship, not by how many Bible verses you can memorize or how many chapters of the Bible you read every day. I'm not against those things. I want to worship and, you know, Bible chapters and all that stuff. But he said, the world's going to know by the way you love one another. Now, this really gets me thinking, guys, because I've often looked at my life and realized that's not been at the top of my list. And it's not because I didn't want it to be. It's just, okay, my Bible reading and this and that. And, you know, you can go and you have great devotions. Then you're mean to people all day long. What good is that? Right? You can pray in tongues, but can you walk in love? Right? Because some people pray in tongues, but they're still really mean. And it's supposed to be something bigger than that, right? But the world is supposed to know we follow Christ by the way we love others. So here's the question. When the average person, let's take a moment. This is a bit of a tough question to ask. The average person in Toronto, if someone said to them, got a microphone, get your camera, went out in the street and said, what do you think about Christians? What do you think they'd say? Right? In our culture right now. If you were to ask the average person, what's the first word that comes to mind when you think about Christians? What would they say? Would they say, oh yeah, those are the people that love each other. Man, those are like, they're a little weird, but man, they're loving. Right? Would love be the thing that people would say? Or maybe, can we humbly consider whether have we maybe lost our way and we've not lived out love the way we need to? How have you heard about a book called Unchristian? I'd encourage you to check it out. It's written by Dave Kinneman and Gabe Lyons. And basically, they did a whole extensive research, working with the Barna Research Group, with many millennials to find out what they thought about Christianity. And I believe it was an American context, but I think it would apply very much to the Canadian context as well. And when they asked many of these young people, what were the first words that came to mind when they heard about Christians? Here's what were the top answers. Bigoted, judgmental, hypocritical, old-fashioned, too involved with politics, out of touch with reality, boring, not accepting of other faiths, and confusing. Now, but you, I don't like hearing that list very much. I don't know if you would either. Right? Notice there's nothing in there about loving. Now, I will admit there are several factors that do play into this, and we do have to be honest about several factors. Number one, there has been a common narrative, and it really comes from some of the enemy's plans against Christians in our culture that has tried to turn people against Christianity. And you've got to learn to discern that. I'll give you an example. I was recently watching Wonder Woman 1984, and I'll leave it up to you to decide you're a critic of that movie or not. But in the middle of the movie, there was this guy who'd been given this power to grant riches, and they had a televangelist come down and sit down with him, and the televangelist's list was to get rid of the sex tape. Now, I'm sitting watching this. I'm going, what in the world does this have to do with the movie? Like, of all the things you could have picked, why are you picking a televangelist coming in unless there's a bigger agenda going on here? Now, I'm not trying to preach against the entire movie. We live in a world, and yes, have there been televangelists with sex tapes? Probably, but is that really a fair example of the majority of people who've tried to share the gospel? Definitely not. So is there an agenda there? Probably. I think we've got to learn to discern that. Well, you see that happening over and over and over again. Yeah, it is going to start to cause a level of persecution against believers in our culture. So we do understand that that is going on. We also understand that as our culture moves more and away from biblical values, what the Bible teaches can start seeing more form or offensive to people. So there's elements that, yes, when we stand today and we say, hey, this is what the Bible says, this is right, this is wrong, there are going to be people who are going to say, well, you're not loving. So I understand all this is going on, and I think we have to acknowledge that as we talk through this point. But in the middle of that, in the middle of the cultural narrative, in the middle of kind of the shift in what people believe about righteousness and what people believe about truth, here's what I'm getting at. We can't control certain things, but we need to be honest and ask ourselves, have we still, though, really demonstrated that we're those who love people? Right? Have we demonstrated, have we lived out this life of love? Has the love of God that we have for one another, that the love of God that we have for the world around us, guys, has it been so, how would I say it? Has it been so, like, demonstrative? Has it been so strong that even when there's attacks and weird film things and things that come up, that people say, well, I don't know, I just, every time I meet a Christian, man, they just have this love thing. They got this love that's going on. Man, I go to a church and there's just love. See, can we own our part? And can we say in our lives, okay, God, we want to grow. And you know, let me say this too. Before we start to criticize the church, because you know, sometimes we can be, well, the church this, and the church needs to walk more in love. Well, listen, you and I are the church. So today, can we start with ourselves? Can we start in our own hearts? And can we say, God, am I living a life of love that would mark people around me? Is the way I love my brothers and sisters in Christ indicative of my following of Jesus? Would people be marked by the way I love? Let's start in our own lives. Are we living it? Am I living it? Right? Am I living it with my spouse? Am I living it with my children? Am I living it with my family and those who are around us? Sometimes we can be so good at doing Christian things, but are we learning to love? Guys, I believe with all my heart that we're on the edge of a massive move of God, and I believe that one of the defining characteristics of this move is going to be that we have this incredible love for God, and we have this incredible love for people. And even in the midst of persecution, because Jesus said it would happen, even in the midst of false things being said about us, because Jesus said it would happen, even in the midst of some people not liking the standard of righteousness that God sets, because that is going to happen, in the middle of it, people would not be able to deny the love that we have and the love that we live for one another. Guys, loving one another is not an option. It's a command. Not as a command, it's a necessity. And not as a necessity, but it is our pathway forward. Let me just share one last thought with you, because part of what God's given me, we got to wrestle with this and we've got to pray into this. Right? It's not just like a nice verse, a nice concept. It's like, God, how can I love people more? How can I love my brothers and sisters in Christ better? God, how can I love the culture that's around us? Part of my concern right now is we are getting we've got to watch out for the trap. And a lot of times it's there in social media. So we can get pulled in this trap and becoming very adversarial with our culture. And it's like us versus them. Instead of understanding what the scriptures say, our battle is not against flesh and blood, guys. It's against principalities and powers. And when I'm walking in love with someone, when I'm walking in love towards someone, I still have an open door to reach them. Right? My smart remarks, my arguments, my clap backs, whatever I want to call to people, are not going to do anything to bring them to Christ. And our call, first and foremost, is to walk in love. You know, it's interesting. A friend of mine, we actually went to high school together, he's a great pastor here in the GTA, John Thompson. He said something a couple years back that really stuck with me. He said, to understand how to function in a culture, I won't quote him directly, but this is the gist of it. To understand how to function properly in a culture that is increasingly hostile to Christian faith, we need to learn to look to the early church as our example. We don't need to look back to the Reformation time because they were in a very Christianized culture. We need to look to the early church who were in a culture that was very pre-Christian, was not Christian. And we will learn and understand keys of how, because it's interesting. We've probably heard about the persecutions the early church faced, the challenges that they faced, the different, martyrdom and being thrown to the lions and all these things that could happen. And yet over a couple hundred years of that happening, Christianity literally grew to be the dominant force in the empire. To the point where in the early 300s, Constantine, the emperor of Rome, made Christianity the official religion of Rome. Now, this was not, there's debate among scholars of whether he had a true conversion or whether he was just being a good politician and moving with the flow of things, because scholars actually believe that by the time Constantine made this decision, over 50% of the Roman Empire were believing Christians and followers of Christ. Over 50%. How did a group of 120 in an upper room grow to being 50% of the largest, most dominant empire when they were persecuted, when they were spoken against, when they were attacked? How did they do that? Guys, I want you to know how they did it. They did it by learning to walk in love. They did it by just, there was such a force and power of love for God and love for one another, and it just grew and it grew. And they stood firm in persecutions. The blood of the martyrs became the seed of revival. So there was sacrifices that they were willing to make, but they held to their conviction of love. And some scholars believe that the worst thing that happened to Christianity was when it became popular and it became the official of religion of Rome, because people were no longer making a sacrifice to follow Christ, but it now became the in thing to do. Let me just read one thing from, in closing here, from Bruce Shelley. He's a Bible historian, and he wrote this in Church History in Plain Language. He was talking about why Christianity spread. And he said, the practical expression of Christian love was probably among the most powerful causes of Christian success. Tertullian tells us the pagans, and pagans simply means those without God, the pagans remarked, see how these Christians love one another. The pagans' words were sincere. Christian love found expression in care for the poor, of widows and orphans, in visits to brethren in prisons or to those condemned to living death in the mines, and in acts of compassion during a famine, an earthquake, or a war. You know, it's interesting. You see so many times through history, one of the things Christians were known for was there would be a plague that would break up. We have a little more context, obviously, with COVID. Instead of fleeing the cities, Christians would stay to care for those who were sick and to help those. And many times, there are times they'd even die themselves. But these acts of love were what broke down even the harshest resistance. These acts of love were what pushed through the harshest persecution. And these acts of love were, that's why the Bible says you don't overcome evil with evil, but you overcome evil with good. Can I rephrase that a little bit in closing today? You don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with love. Will we be those who say that we will walk in love no matter what? We'll walk in love because Jesus commanded it to us. We'll walk in love because, man, that's just the way he's called us to live. But we'll also be committed to walk in love. Even in this time where there's so much dissension and division and cancel culture and all these things that are flying around. It doesn't mean we don't stand up for truth. But the Bible says we speak the truth in love. But we will be committed to love one another. And so in closing, our prayer simply becomes this. Lord, teach us to love. Would you pray that with me today? Would you pray that with me this month as we do this series on By Our Love? Would each one of us just open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, teach us how to love. Teach me how to love. Not pointing the finger at the church. Not pointing the finger at others. They're not very loving. They're not this. But looking at ourselves and allowing God to work love in us. And if you're with me in that, I'm going to pray. I want to pray for you. Please join me. Let's pray this together. Say, Jesus. I actually want you to pray this with me, actually. Let's pray it as one. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that I love because you first loved me. And thank you that this month and this year and just going forward in life, that you're teaching me how to love in fresh and new and real ways. Help me to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me to love my family. Help me to love this world. Help me to love my enemies. Help me to walk in the love that you have called me to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited this month. As I mentioned, Pastor Samuel's going to be bringing the word next week. I know it's going to be a great word as we continue to dive deeper into walking in love and learning to love one another. Now, before we go today, there's just two things I want to say really quickly. First and foremost, I want to give an opportunity if there's anyone out there and you've never received God's love in your life and become born again. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that God loves us with an everlasting love, but we've been separated from his love because of sin. Because of sin, we deserve judgment. I'm not just talking about you. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about all of us. We all deserve judgment, and it's eternal judgment. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. The verse I read today, God showed his love for us, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came, he died, and he rose again. And he said, if you'll put your faith and trust in me, I'll forgive you of sin. I'll set you free, and you can start living out this life with me. And so if you're watching today and you know you need to make that commitment to Christ, or if you know you need to give your life back to him, maybe you followed him in the past, but you've fallen away and you know today is your day to come back. If you're either one of those people, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now from your heart. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that you came for me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you rose again. Today I turn my back on sin. I commit my life to you. Fill me. Forgive me. Free me. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you. It seems simple, but you've now come into a place of being right with God. And we'd love to hear from you if you did. We'd love to just journey with you, support you in this walk with God. If you can just, there's an opportunity that's just going to come up, some information for you to click on, or just reach out. Let us know, because we want to stand with you if you made this decision for Christ. Amen? Amen. Awesome. All right. Well, before we go, obviously, we're going to have a few announcements, but we also have an opportunity for our weekly tithes and offerings. The information is there on the screen for you. Thank you so much for your ongoing faithfulness and giving to what God is doing here. That is an amazing expression of love. You know, we talk about generosity and giving. Last week, we talked about it, even part of our first fruits. That is an amazing expression of love. And I really want to encourage you, just wherever you are, let's just continue to lean in our tithes. Let's continue to lean in and being faithful in offerings, be led by the Lord. If maybe you missed last week and you still want to give something towards first fruits, you can do that. Just make sure you mark that clearly on your giving. If you have any questions at all about your giving, about what things are going towards, how to make it, we are always here to answer your questions and be more than glad to do that. So we love you. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's continue to grow in love. Let's continue to grow in walking out. What does this look like? And what does it mean to live by love? And we're going to see you again next week.